a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Frerich,
here.
Johnston, Lederman,
here.
Lucas,
here.
Ray,
here.
Teason,
here.
Olson,
here.
Roden,
here. Quorum is present. You've received the minutes. Comments? Motion to approve by Rave, seconded by Johnson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. A couple announcements before we get started. First of all, let's have our Paige introduce herself and tell us where you're from.
Hi, I'm Callie Larson. I'm from Rapid City.
Rapid City.
We won't hold it against you.
Thank you for your help. A couple of announcements today. If you wish to testify on any of the bills, we'd ask you to sign the podium by the front door. Also, if you have a cell phone, you might want to check and make sure it's an appropriate setting. We have a fairly manageable calendar today, and if there are no other announcements, we will get on the calendar. So with that, we will take up Senate Bill 102, an act to... Is Senator Alcine here? Oh, I'm sorry. There you are. An act to regulate the submission of certain filings with the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 102 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimonies.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here today. I'm Senator Stan Adelstein from District 32 in the beautiful city of Rapid City, where the temperature's in the 50s today, or should be. This bill is really a pretty simple bill. In fact, about as simple as it can be. It's one paragraph. The bill arose out of much confusion and complaints that I've received from constituents and companies. Originally, the bill, as I'd asked for it to be drafted, had an exception to the rule if the legislature specifically permitted it. And I learned that that's automatic anyway. If the legislature approves the filing by electronic means, then those would be the exceptions. What happened is there are a number of small firms that were accustomed to making filings regularly by hard copy with individuals in our state that are not necessarily familiar with using computers, and they don't know whether the information really got in online. In addition, I'm sure that we have all heard from numerous individuals, at least I've heard from numerous people, who said that when they submitted the online, and then they went to look at their filings, A, that the filings weren't there right away or promptly, or B, there were errors, numbers, and in some cases very great difficulty in getting it corrected. Therefore, I think that unless it's really significant, is significant enough for the legislature to take an action and demand online submission, that the system that we have used should continue, and nothing should be made mandatory to be filed online without legislative action. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand down and be present for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will open to opponent testimony. Opponents of Senate Bill 102.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Patricia Miller, Deputy Secretary of State, and I rise in opposition of Senate Bill. The Secretary of State's office has passed multiple bills over the last few years to allow for online filing of documents. All of these laws have only added online filing as an option and not as a mandate. Online filing has been added due to public demand in the Secretary of State's office, with conversion rates as high as 86% of filers using the online option. Many of South Dakota's other state agencies have also made great strides in allowing for the online filing of these documents as well. Online filing costs in printing, mailing, and employee time. As technology expands as a state, we continue to try to be competitive, and this includes allowing for online filing. And we truly understand that these documents can be filed online as well as a choice of a paper document being submitted to the Secretary of State's office. And we are there willing and able to help anyone who is interested in using the online system, but work diligently with those who are also submitting the paper. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Other opponents? Are there any other opponents? Seeing none, Senator Alstein, would you like to rebut?
Very brief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, I'm Stan Adelstein from Rapid City. I think that the opponent actually supported the bill because I certainly agree with their comment. The key word is on line 7, prevent. As long as the Secretary of State's office prevails in what we were just described as an opponent that permits the filing, then this law would have no effect. My concern is that either the appearance or the reality of mandatory nature of not being able to file by hard copy, so that I have no objection to the comments that were made by the Secretary of State's office. I just want this to be the case that people can file, because there has either been some misunderstanding or an inference of mandatory nature. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson.
I have a question for Ms. Miller.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any other files or documentation that is required to be filed with the Secretary of State's office that's only available online as an online file?
No, there's not.
Can you give me some for instances of the number of different files, not just financial reports?
There would be through the corporate division, the different documents that are filed online or paper through that division, as well as notaries, trademarks, lobbyists. We give the option of using the online system, or you can use the paper.
Further questions? Senator Brown.
Ms. Miller, we have seen some agencies move down the road where they require electronic filing. The first one that comes to mind is the Department of Revenue. In some circumstances, does require strictly electronic filing. Does your office now, or in the immediate future, have any plans to not allow paper options for any of the documents that your office processes?
Mr. Chairman, no, we do not.
You don't have any plans?
We have no plans, and it is my understanding that that would be your choice as a legislature that would have to rule before it could be totally online.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions, Senator Teason?
Thank you. I have a question for Senator Adelstein.
Senator Adelstein?
Thank you.
Thank you. Pat?
Senator, do you have any examples of people that you believe were required or intimidated into using electronic? Can you further discuss that?
Senator, I do not. I guess it's not just anecdotal. Individuals have stopped me, but being a state senator involved in some other things, no, I have been told that people were under had that understanding. And if they were wrong, then all this bill will do will reinforce their error and give me an answer. I don't have. No, the answer is no. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Further questions? Any other questions? Seeing none, we will move to committee discussion and or action. Comments, discussion, Senator Brown.
At this point, I'd just like to make a comment. I guess, and I think Ms. Miller indicated one of the questions that I had. You know, I recall passing some of the laws that allowed for the Secretary of State's office to use these electronic options, but in every case that I remember, it was always strictly permissive language that the legislature put in there, where we would allow that as an option, but we still required the Secretary of State to maintain that paper option. When I look at this, to me, that seems like that's probably the strongest safeguard that we have, is the fact that in order for that office to ever not allow paper publications, that would require legislative changes in a number of sections of code that deal with everything from the corporate documents to the elections pieces. So when I look at this, at least from my view, it appears that these safeguards are already in place and the legislature has the authority to determine which direction that's going to go. And I don't see any indication that the legislature is looking at eliminating those paper options at this point.
Thank you. Further comments?
Well, perhaps I would, as a chair, would just take the liberty to make a couple comments so maybe we can move this along. And because the absence of comments, I believe, is kind of an indication of the committee's respect for a fellow senator. It brought a bill forward, and nobody wants to, be the one that has to make a motion to defer a bill. But I think Senator Brown's comments are spot on. I think I understand the intent, but speaking as someone, an individual that has done all of our work on a hard copy and will continue to do so, and so we've, I think there was one issue at one time when my wife was filing, we just couldn't find the window to print the hard copy. Called the Secretary of State's office, very helpful, saying, well, you know, just take look in this spot, and there it was, and it was pretty obvious, but we just hadn't seen it, and printed it out, and went from there. So we have not encountered any problems whatsoever in filing, printing out a hard copy and filing with the Secretary of State's office. I think that just by the nature of the fact that you're dealing with the legislature, obviously if they did try to do anything, they're picking on the wrong people as far as the fact that we make the laws. So I just think, Senator Adelstein, that it's pretty clear that this would be unnecessary. And I'm not asking for comment. And
may I make a motion then to withdraw my bill?
Actually, you can't because you're not a member of the committee.
Okay.
But I just wanted, I feel that that's what's coming forward, and I wanted to just make a few comments to explain to you at least what my personal opinion is, and then we will move forward with committee discussion. So further discussion, Senator Teason.
Motion
is in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to defer to the 41st day.
Thank you. Motion to defer by Senator Teason, second by Senator Rave. Comments on that motion, Senator Teason?
Briefly, and since I am listed as a sponsor of the bill, maybe I can speak for Senator Adelstein as well. I think that we've heard today that there that still paper is accepted in all cases. Certainly there'll probably come a day that electronic filing becomes maybe a necessity. But we've also heard testimony today, we have it on record, that Secretary of State's office believes that will be an option for the legislature. I'm satisfied with that resolution. I think we've accomplished what we need to accomplish. Thank you.
Comments? Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion then is to defer to the 41st day, Senate Bill 102. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rabe.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 102 is deferred to the 41st day. Thank you, Senator Adelstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I think we've come.
Thank you. We will move now to House Bill 1053, an act to revise the lending limit for state chartered banks. House Bill 1053 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brett Aftel with the Division of Banking. We bring before you House Bill 1053. This was a bill that we put in and request that you to favorably consider to address an issue that was raised in the Dodd-Frank Act, some federal legislation that was passed going on 2 years ago. There was a provision in there that required our lending limit to, quote, take into consideration exposures to derivatives transactions for any of our banks that are involved in those transactions. So this is something that affects a small number of our banks, but we do have a few banks that enter into these types of contracts to mitigate their interest rate risks. And all this bill will really do is take that exposure they have to a third party into consideration in our lending limit and will therefore allow them to continue to enter into those contracts to mitigate their risk. It will require some reporting on their part through the quarterly reporting structure, and we will at some point need to issue some guidance and potentially some rules, because the one piece that's not addressed in here is the valuation of that exposure. But because this is a kind of an unfamiliar topic and it can get complicated pretty quickly, the valuation piece is actually the more complicated part. So we thought we'd start with the basics and get the basic structure in. This will satisfy what's required in the Dodd-Frank Act. Then we'll have to move on to the next piece in the valuation part. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Kurt Everson, on behalf of the South Dakota Bankers Association. The need for this bill was something that we didn't discover until after the 2012 legislature had adjourned and gone home for the year. We did discuss this concept with Director Aftal prior to the start of the session. I can tell you that so far, at least by the information I have available, 20 states have dealt with this in similar fashion. Last year, there are at least three or four, including South Dakota, that are dealing with this year. The risk in not passing this bill is to create a lack of ability to enforce certain terms in a derivatives contract. It might be helpful for the committee to think of this, the concept of interest rate swaps or derivatives where banks are concerned, similar to a futures contract that a producer of ag commodities, whether it's wheat or corn or cattle or hogs, might use to mitigate their risk of adverse price movement in the cash markets. Similarly, a bank might use an interest rate swap or a derivatives contract to mitigate risk of adverse movement in interest rates. What I can tell you also is the OCC, the regulator of the national banks, has issued a rule governing this subject matter. That rule, I understand, will take effect July 1 of 2013, and so passage of House Bill 1053 would maintain consistency between the state banks in South Dakota and the national banks. It will also add some clarity for our state banks, so I would encourage the committee's favorable consideration of House Bill 1053. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, comments, discussion, action, Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Second.
Motion by Brown, due pass. Second by Senator Rave. Comments on the motion? Senator Brown?
No.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is due pass. House Bill 1053, all those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Keeson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1053 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair. Stereo.
Senator Rave.
I move consent.
Second.
Motion consent. Second by Brown. Comments on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. And Rave, I'll let you carry this on the floor. That way we'll ensure that it doesn't remain on consent.
Perfect.
We will take up now House Bill 1063, an act repeals certain outdated and obsolete provisions regarding the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications. House Bill 1063 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jim Edmond with the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications. We have three statutes that, as part of the governor's ongoing initiative to reduce red tape and bureaucracy within our statutory legislation to remove them. We've gone through and done some analysis from a cleanup perspective. 133-34 is a bill that requires what was originally called the Rural Development Telecommunications Network to submit a 5-year plan to an executive board for approval. This is a remnant back from the early 90s. The RDTN subsequently was merged into BIT, and the executive board was abolished. And so as it sits now, it requires a 5-year plan submitted to ourselves for approval. Though we certainly do strategic planning as submitting the plan to ourselves for approval, not quite sure why that would require statutory language to approve that. So we feel that that is unnecessary. The second section, 133-52, authorizes us to enter into contracts for equipment, and in addition to limiting them to 5-year contracts. That is somewhat redundant in that 1-33-48 already authorizes the commissioner to enter into agreements. So we think that is a redundant bill and not necessary or statute. 133-56 authorizes the Bureau to enter into an agreement to purchase what's called a CPU and establish an equipment replacement account. These days, to purchase a CPU, just about anything that you buy from an electronics perspective has a CPU in it, whether it's a computer, a phone, a printer, etc. So requiring a statute to purchase a CPU, I think, is wasteful. The equipment reserve replacement account, all of our rates are monitored by something called the federal A87 statute. What that means is that for agencies, the federal government is wanting to ensure that when agencies use federal money to pay our bills, that they, that the feds are not carrying an undue weight on that. In other words, they don't want to pay for the whole ride. And so, the A87 legislation from the feds in regards to monitoring our rates somewhat supersedes this equipment reserve replacement account, which in fact, I'm not sure if it's ever been used. Mm-hmm. It was established, but I don't think that it's been used. In this particular case, what it was established was for a mainframe computer, and purchasing mainframe computers these days, again, we have to follow the A87 statute, and we, in fact, do not have an equipment reserve replacement account. So we find that also to be unnecessary. Appreciate your support, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we're open to comments, discussion, action.
Sure.
Senator Brown.
I move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Senator Brown, second by Senator Rave, do pass motion on House Bill 1063. Discussion? Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I think it's pretty straightforward, simply cleaning up some outdated language that probably could have been done previously, so I see no reason we shouldn't move this forward.
Thank you. Further comments? Any other comments? This is the kind of bill you take to your Cracker Barrels and show the folks that you are indeed getting rid of laws. Any comments? Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion then is due pass. House Bill 1063, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, vote nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Aye.
Furix.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Rodin.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1063 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Second.
Motion consent by Senator Johnson, seconded by Senator Lucas. Comments on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1063 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. Any other announcements for the committee? I promise you we will get busier and we will have more testimony in the future on some bills that are coming up, but for now our calendar looks pretty manageable. Any other announcements? Motion to adjourn by Lucas, second by Teason. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Meeting is adjourned.